So chores around the house, whether you're now or as a kid, there are things that just have to get done, right? But it's easy to like resist wanting to do it. I don't want to do it. And as an adult, you kind of can get away with that for a while, right? I remember as a kid, you would hear the phrase, we all got around, help out around here, or it just needs to be done. And I think about either my own kids or me as a kid that, you know, you clench the fist and be like, fine, I'll just do it, even though I don't want to, right? I'll just do it. It's a have to. It's a feeling like we're forced or we just don't want to. Now that can, not always, but can be a mentality we take on when we think about giving. Can be. We think about giving to God, giving to the church, both money and with ourselves. The attitude can be like, I have to do it, so I'm just going to do it. But that's not actually the heart we're supposed to have. I want to read something from Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, about talking about kind of how we should have a heart for giving. And this is bookmarked on those Bibles on your tables. We're going to jump around a little bit today, but this one's bookmarked. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7. I'm going to read this to give us kind of an intro to where we're going today. So Paul writing, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap sparingly. Generous. Wow. We're going to try again. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. There it is. It's written there. Now we got it. The decision as to how much to give, though, comes from each individual. Okay, decide it in your heart how much to give. You're not giving out of coercion. I'm not one that's going to get up here and be like, hey, if you can buy yourself that venti iced vanilla caramel latte with half the syrup, an extra shot of espresso, and a dollop of whipped cream, then you can give to the church. Some do that. I wish I haven't said I've heard that, but I have. But that's guilting you into giving, and that's exactly what Paul says isn't what should happen. There should be no guilt or coercion. Giving should come from a decision in your own heart as to what to give and how much to give, and then give cheerfully, meaning I get to give to God. I am choosing to give to God. Nobody's making it happen. It's an act of honoring and worshiping God. Think about this, going back to that kind of visual of the kid with the clenched fist, right? We want to give with open hearts and not those clenched fists. So we give with an open heart and not clenched fists. So we're going to look at two categories of giving today, financial, but also giving acts of service. This is week 4 of our series on spiritual health. It'll be a total of 5 weeks. So next week we'll wrap it up. Then we'll do church in Chile and we'll jump into something new after that. And we've talked about prayer, we've talked about fasting and about scripture reading as ways to improve our spiritual health. You can catch up on any of those you've missed on our website if you would like to. And today's theme is giving with an open heart and in a way that honors God. And when we give to God with an open heart, with a pure heart, it actually improves our spiritual health and our relationship with him. So we're going to start by looking at financial giving. So we're going to read Genesis 4 verses 1 to 5 to kick it off with is kind of an idea of giving with our eyes on God. It says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain with his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. So we have two brothers. We have Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Now, Cain's older. He was, in essence, a farmer. He worked the soil. We have Abel, who was more of like an animal herder or a shepherd. He had flocks. And at one point, they both bring an offering to God. And God finds Abel's offering acceptable and Cain's not. So the big question here is why? First thing, it has nothing to do with the what. It's not because Abel brought animals and Cain only brought maybe grain or crops. That part was fine because that was their role. That's what they had. That's what they were given. The issue lies in the quality. Abel, it says, brought the fattened portions of his firstborn of his flocks. He brought some of the best of what he had and he gave to God first and with his best. Contrast that to Cain, who in essence brought some leftovers. It's very possible he took some of his crops for himself first, and then he gave to God, and that's what God found unacceptable. So God wants and desires our first and our best when we give to him. We've been watching the playoffs at home, Jeremiah and I, and the rest of the family watching football. And you kind of see some of these big plays, and, you know, we like them when there's a big touchdown play or anything. You know, maybe the Seahawks will run a kickoff back again, Chris. I'm going to speak that into existence for you. But you kind of look and be like, wow, that thing was awesome. But to make these big plays happen, multiple people had to give their best with what their role is and what they were given. Quarterback's got to throw a great pass. Receiver run the great route. The linemen have to block everybody's in front of them. The point is, all of these guys have different roles. They're given different responsibility, but they did their best with it. So we should give our best to God. Give to God before anything else. Again, Abel, the fattened portions of the firstborn. This is the highest end Wagyu beef marbled steak, and he gave it. It was his best, and he gave it to God before he did anything else. Cain gave what he had left over. So as you prayerfully consider giving financially, look at everything God has given you first. Just you, and don't compare it with anybody else. Abel and Cain gave based on what God had given them. That part's acceptable. Whatever God has given you is a blessing, and maybe that's where you need to start. That seeing whatever finances God has given you are a blessing, even if they're tight or whether you have excess. Then before anything else, decide what to give to God. Give back to God based on what God's given you, not what you have left over. When you give to this church I can speak to, it's going to God to work through what we do at this church. And at the meeting later today, you'll hear about some of the numbers and where exactly that money goes. And you can always ask for clarification on that or information about where it goes. But you're giving to God. It's honoring God with how he has blessed you. And then trust God. This is another layer of giving. It absolutely comes with trust. Trust that God will continue to provide for your needs, that he will continue to bless you in ways you didn't see coming. Trust what God is going to do with what you give, that it's going to be God carrying out his plan for his mission, for his church, because this is God's church. So give your first and your best to God, not because you have to, but because you want to honor and glorify God. So give your first, give your best. Let's look at giving sacrificially. This is another element to giving. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, it says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow and put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So Jesus is hanging out near the temple. In our series on Mark, we talked about this story a little bit. And he's close enough to see the temple treasury where people would come place their offerings. And he sees a woman, a poor widow, who places in two very small copper coins. In practicality in this day, this was a tiny fraction of even a day's wages in terms of amount. Now we contrast that with many others that were seen giving large amounts of money and placing those in the temple treasury. And Jesus says, this poor widow has given more than any of the others. Now if we took this as just dollar amount, which is a lot of times the way we like to look at things, Jesus sounds nuts. This woman maybe gave a penny while others are giving hundreds. But it wasn't about the amount to Jesus. It was about the heart. It was about the sacrifice this woman made. You better believe this widow would have felt the sacrifice of giving those two copper coins. She would miss that money because she had so little. The others that gave a lot might not even miss it because they had so much. To Jesus, it was about the sacrifice, not the dollar amount. When I was in college, I was a political science undergrad, and I interned on a campaign, and my main job was doing donor research. So I came in, I sat at a computer, and I had to look up people that had given to other candidates with similar viewpoints as the one I was working for, and that we could then target as donors to donate money. And I was given a threshold line saying, we don't even want the names of people that gave below this line. It was all up here because they wanted bigger donors. So think about this. If I'm in the scene with Jesus, I'm sitting behind my computer screen. I have the wealthy ones that are putting a lot in the treasury over here and this poor widow here. And I'm told, ignore this. This doesn't even matter. This is the one that matters, the wealthy one. But to Jesus, this screen, this is the one that really matters. It's the one that gave sacrificially. That's what matters to Jesus. She would have felt those coins missing. If she's got her bank ledger, she knows they are gone. The sacrifice is what matters. So when we give financially, whatever we give should be sacrificial, and it's going to look different to each and every one of us. And on the front end, if you're giving for the first time or you're increasing giving or something like that, it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I get that. But following God isn't about feeling comfortable. It's about having the comfort of God while you feel uncomfortable. God will comfort you in the discomfort of a financial situation. I think money and finances can be a really tough one to fully give over to God, because money's practical. Money's needed. It's tangible. Like, we're supposed to know how to handle and manage money. When I was in eighth grade, we did a whole like quarter on a budget project, right? You're supposed to learn how to do all this. We can see the ins and outs of our bank accounts. And I can say, yeah, I believe God can and will provide for all my needs, but trusting him with all those finances, that's hard. But when I really do it, when I really say, okay, God, here's everything, what are we going to do with it? I'm nervous, sure, but I'm listening. And I'm focused on God and following. And I found God's comfort in it. I found comfort in that sacrifice. So I want to kind of challenge you to take a mindset when you are prayerfully considering giving is this. Think about what's going to be, not what could have been. What's going to be, not what could have been. Here's what I mean. Think about what God's going to do with what you give. All the good he's going to you for his good. God's not irresponsible with his money. He knows what he's doing. And don't think about what could have been. Because then it becomes about us and it all being ours. And like, yeah, I can look at a year-end giving statement and be like, dang, I could have done a lot with what I gave. And that factually is probably true. But it's not about what we could have done. It's about what God's going to do. So we're giving to God. We're sacrificing to God and for God because he's provided for us. He's blessed us. He's sacrificed for us by sending Jesus. So we sacrifice as well. And it's not about a dollar amount. It's not about having to give. It's about honoring God, sacrificing to God, and giving back to him with what he has blessed you with. So I ask you to prayerfully ask God, put on your heart what to give and how to give. And know how much that honors God. He will continue to provide for you. He will comfort you and be there if it feels uncomfortable. But giving of money is only one way of giving. And I want to address giving of ourselves. And really, this is giving by serving. Talk about acting like a servant. Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28 says, Jesus called them, this is the disciples, together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, this statement from Jesus, this little meeting, it comes on the heels of James and John's mother, who asked Jesus for her boys to have higher status in the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus had his 12 disciples. The inner three were James, John, and then Peter. So this is James and John's mother asking for this. She wants them to be at the right and left hand of Jesus. And James and John are like, yeah, we want that too. Jesus is like, you don't even know what you're asking. You can't handle the sacrifice, can you? And they say, yeah, we can. But the problem is, as Jesus explains, they're thinking about the kingdom of God in terms of an earthly kingdom, where it's all about status. It's all about authority. It's all about showing others that you've got it. Greatness is seen. Greatness was known. Greatness was boasted about. But Jesus says, that's not the way of my kingdom. It's like, you want to be great? Serve others. You want to be first? Go to the back of the line. Put others first. We do that by serving. Jesus says in a very famous verse, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He came to serve others and be about others. And there are times in our lives where, yes, we will be served by others. But the mentality is we serve first. Jesus came to serve. From what I understand, we're not big movie buffs at our house, but I understand Oscar nominations are out and everything like that. People are talking about it. If you look at theater or film, right, all casts have lead actors or lead characters, right? And then maybe some secondary roles. And then there's your supporting cast or your extras. And those extras, those supporting cast, they're important. They do little things that help the show or help the movie happen, but they don't have the spotlight, right? Their name isn't up in lights. They're not the ones being nominated. Jesus calls us to be in that supporting cast role first, to serve others, not necessarily to put other people in the spotlight so people see them, but by putting our light on them. To say, I see you, I'm here for you, I'm here to help and serve. So give yourself by serving. And Jesus is very clear. Part of our purpose as followers of Jesus is to serve others. And again, he doesn't say you'll never be served. He doesn't say to neglect yourself, but he does say we are here to serve others. We need to serve, not serve to be seen. he teaches that the rulers of the Gentiles wanted to be seen as authoritative for what they did. Many times the Pharisees are called out for Jesus for what? For doing things so that people would see how awesome they are. The desires of our hearts should be to serve others, whether we're seen or not. That's how we give ourselves through serving. Just like giving money to God is about giving to God, letting him do his thing, giving ourselves through serving is giving to someone else for their sake and not our own. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You can be seen serving someone. Serving someone can make you feel really, really good. That's totally fine. People saw Jesus perform miracles. They saw Jesus heal people, but his motive, his heart, was to heal the person, not just to be seen. So our motive should be the other people when we serve. And not unlike giving money, giving of ourselves is sacrificial. If we think logically, I'm doing something for someone else. That is time and energy and motivation that I'm not spending on myself. That's the point. It's for someone else. So my encouragement with this part, when we think about serving again, is to serve the need, not your need to serve. It might be like, yeah, I'm supposed to serve. I want to look for a way to serve. And you got a person over here, and they have need A. But what you decide to do is I'm going to do B for them. Now, it's a nice thing, but need A still exists. Serve that need. Giving ourselves is serving fully about the other person. And it's about them because that's what Jesus called us to do. And who and how you serve, that's really up to you. You might be able to identify people in your neighborhoods, your friend groups, your work colleagues. That's awesome. Find them in your areas where you can do that. I'm going to quickly highlight some ways, kind of in a practical sense, of this church, how people already serve here, and some ways you can serve if you're looking for a way to serve. First one here that I want to highlight first is tear down. Here's why this church, I'm getting trouble for saying this, is more awesome than any other church out there. Because everybody just jumps in and helps. I cannot tell you, and I'm not kidding, how many pastors I talk to in the month that I'm like, oh yeah, everybody just kind of jumps in and helps, and they're like, wait, they just help and you don't have to ask them? No. And they're like, I'm not kidding. I wish I was, but I'm not. Like, it's insane, which is why you guys are awesome. So thank you for all helping with Teardown. Greeting. Maybe you're like, Jeff, I am first team all saying hi to people. Like, I'm the best sayer hire ever. Great. You can stand at that table over there like some of our people do and welcome people in. Let me know if that's something you want to do. Sound and technology, like Kyle does sitting up here today. Becky and Chris do this as well. You click through the slides. You have to put up with me saying things and figuring out where it goes. Turn the music up and down. You don't need any special training to do it. We'll walk you through it. It's fairly simple. That's a way. Worship, I'm up here playing my guitar and singing. Sometimes Mark and Julie are up here with me. If you sing or play an instrument, let's talk about that. Let's sing and play together and see if that would be a spot you could serve. Kids ministry, Julie and Claire in with the kids. This is probably the most underserved, understaffed ministry in most churches, but it's an insanely valuable one because it's where our kids are. Serve by teaching as a main teacher or just being there to help. And Julie will talk about this a little bit at the meeting, but our denomination actually just launched a new policy book for kids and youth where we actually have to have more people involved. So that's a way. Or outreach, if you just love serving the community and seeing the community shown the love of God. Right now, Stacy and I kind of spearhead the Meadow Ridge Ministry where we track how many snacks and we have and we need and getting those all dropped off. That could be something you could help with. You could take it over. Or if there's another area in the community we could serve. Those are just all ways right here at hometown you can serve. Right? If those practical ways stand out, talk to me. We'll get you involved. Again, also look for the ways within your neighborhoods and your work life and all of that to serve. But that's what it's about, serving others. And when you serve others, serve faithfully. Be a faithful servant. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Jesus is telling this parable. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this parable is usually called either parable of the talents, parable of bags of gold. The summary is this. We have a master that goes away and he entrusts different amounts of money to some of his servants. 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold. The first two servants, they put what they were given to use and earn more off it. Third guy just buries it so he doesn't lose it. Then the master comes back and he's impressed with the first two and what they did. They put what they were given to use. They did well with it. So he gives them more and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But he's upset with the third guy because the third guy did nothing with what he was given. And this doesn't have anything to do with the amounts, but with the faithfulness of using and doing well with what is given. The servants that took what they were given, did well with it, were called good and faithful servants. That's what we want to be. We want to serve faithfully. First piece of this is serving well with what you're given. See, each servant was given a different amount. We are all given different things. We are given different skills, different passions, different giftings, different callings. That's a good thing. We need those differences. Do well with those. That means use them. Put them to work with God. If you have this huge passion for prayer, then pray for others, pray for yourself, pray for churches, pray for your communities. Do it well. And don't diminish it by stacking up that gifting against somebody else's. Like, yeah, I got this passion for prayer, but man, that person over there has this incredible ability to like really just talk to people about Jesus and be really charismatic. I could pray, but I should do that. That's not where we're getting it. Do well with what you are given. A gifting or a passion from God is never wrong. It's never minuscule. Now, we can do wrong things with it. We can make it seem minuscule, but it's not when it's from God. Don't hide or bury your gift. That's what the third servant did. He was afraid to put what he was given to use. God calls us to serve faithfully. That means stepping out and serving maybe in some fear and discomfort because Jesus calls us to serve. But then when we do, and when we do it faithfully, look at what he says. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant is a phrase used kind of a lot. I was at a celebration of life back in August. One of the pastors I know in Janesville, his wife passed away. And there's another pastor there that gave a message and described this man's wife as a good and faithful servant. It was really cool to hear about her life and learn about her in the way he talked about her. But then as the pastor was sharing about this phrase, he said, listen to what it says. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not well done, good and faithful teacher, right? Teachers are important, not what it's about. Not well done, good and faithful leader. Leaders are important, but it's not what it's about. Not well done, good and faithful pastor. That one stung some people in the room that day, but that's not what it was about. Not well done, good and faithful influencer. Influence is important, but it's not what it's about. The heart, the call, the smile from God comes from being a servant. Good and faithful servant. Serving God, serving others, serving our churches, but serving. And it's giving. It's giving of ourselves. It's giving of our time, our money, our energy, our emotion, but we are called to serve. So be a good and faithful servant of God. Give. Give yourself. Let's wrap up with this. Give God your first and your best. What you have comes from God. Give back to God and know how much that honors and pleases God. And give sacrificially. Jesus came and sacrificed for us. When we give, it should be sacrificial. We will feel it and notice it. And give yourself by serving. Serve first. See the ways you can serve, big or small. And serve just for the sake of serving. Serve for the person or the group you are serving. Make them matter. And know how much that they are loved by God and by you. And then serve faithfully. Do well with what you're given. Put to use what you've been given by God. Don't hide it. Let it out. Be a good and faithful servant. Give to God, and give to God with an open heart. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for what you have given all of us, what you have blessed all of us with, God, all parts of our lives. God, I pray that we would see that, we would see it from you, we would know that it comes from you. And God, that we would all, each one of us here, would come before you and spend time with you about what we should give of ourselves, of our finances, of our energy, whatever it is, that we would, you would put it on our hearts for us to give, and that we would do so with our best, we would do so sacrificially, God. And God, that we would serve. We would serve you by serving others, by serving churches, by serving anything. But that it would be about service of others and putting others first, because that's the message you gave us. And God, I pray that we would serve faithfully, that we would do well with what you're given. We would serve with what you have given us. So I pray that all of us would give and would serve with open hearts. In your name.